Good morning, and thank you for standing by. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Ms. Bagot, you may now begin.
Thanks, Valerie. Hi, everyone, and welcome to 2011's RTC and Jazz Open Mic Series. The topic today is OSLC and Jazz. My name is Stephanie Bagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert and Jazz. Today, our speaker is Kartik Kanakasabasan. Kartik has been with Rational for 12 years and more than 15 years of experience with Rational Tools. He has over 18 years of software development experience and has been working in various capacities throughout his career, ranging from development to technical sales, consulting services, and product management. He has published several white papers, and his patents have helped customers see value in adopting Rational solutions. He is currently the OSLC manager. We will be having a web conference today with presentation material. To join, please go to webdialogs.com/join, webdialogs.com/join, conference ID 3133836. Again, that's 3133836. Kartik will be sharing his knowledge throughout the hour, but all lines are open, so please feel free to jump in and share your questions and ideas. And now I will introduce our speaker, Kartik. Go ahead.
Thank you, Stephanie. So the agenda for the next hour or a few minutes that we have is very simple. We're going to start talking about why OSLC and the kind of problem domain that we're going to solve. Along with that, kind of differentiate between what exactly Jazz architecture is and how does OSLC play within the Jazz architecture environment, and also then kind of fan out to understand exactly what OSLC is doing above and beyond just Jazz in this context. And then potentially also give you some pointers on places where you can look for some additional information around OSLC in particular. So with that, let's move ahead to slide 3. And if we look at essentially what's out there, companies like yourselves will always exercise the right to choose, and as you should be. I mean, the fact is you're looking for the best investment for making the right kind of business decisions. And your aspirations are obviously to get higher quality customers, better customer satisfaction, aligning your overall business domain to your IT investments that you're currently putting in place, and things like faster time to market. And the fact is there are several vendors that are out there in play, and there are some very good vendors that are there. I mean, folks like Microsoft and Micro Focus / Borland do a very good job in those specific domains, as it were. But the problem basically is on slide 4, a lot of people that actually go down this route don't necessarily capture the expected value of their IT investment, specifically in the ALM domain, as it were. And integration seems to be a very key thing here. The fact is, that is the way customers like yourselves realize value in the investment they're making. I mean, does it make sense to invest in a point product tool if you don't, like a build tool, if you don't know exactly how frequently your builds are bleeding? And if so, what is the impact of that to your test case management solution, to your change management solution, and such and such? So a very large contingent of users, even though they do go down the route, the overall value of their investment is usually...
The phone? No, too big.
Was there a question?
Hi, I just want to remind everyone that your lines are open, so please go on mute if you don't have any questions. Thank you.
So in that... Thank you, Stephanie. So, in that context... we realize there's a very large contingent of the user community that don't necessarily realize the overall value, if you will, of their from an integration standpoint of the IT investment, specifically in the ALM space around that. And one of the big things, or the major value, barrier to value in this context is, highlight the fact that it's the second biggest barrier, because the number one biggest barrier to anything is their day-to-day distractions. But as you can see, a very large contingent of the user community basically believes that, lack of tool integration is something that is extremely hard and doesn't actually allow them to gain a lot of business value in this context. And tool integration, by and large, is a very key enabler to realizing that business value in a larger sense. Now, this problem is not new. it's been going on for ever since we've actually had software development tools. And back in the 1990s, IBM, even before they acquired Rational, went down this path with 80 Cycle. So it's not, you know, it's not something that's net new. But the fact is, we know, we realize the fact that anytime we talk about integration, integrations are a very messy thing. And, you know, how do you, you know, there have been various ways to go about doing it. And in some cases, by and large, it has, in some way, shape, or form, failed or failed to realize the overall value, if you will, by making those kind of investments. And typically, being, you know, software engineers like we are, we tend to go across and try to solve problems through different avenues. You know, there has been a thought, there was a thought in, about consolidating every single domain into a single repository, which will allow, which will break down, if you will, the silos of information across an organization. Well, that didn't work out well because at point in time, the repository becomes so big that, it, you know, adding more information kind of makes it more complicated to retrieve information or to do anything analytical or to gain the right kind of insight on your software development supply chain. The other element was also trying to look at point-to-point integrations. So here we have individual point-to-point integrations, and there are two aspects to it. One, if one of the point products you have to upgrade, well, then you technically invalidate the integration that you've written up with all the other tools. The other thing was, the way the technology was back then, a lot of the point-to-point integrations were still dependent on a particular workstation or a particular server, and if that server went down, well, the integration broke. Then we have the whole notion of a universal metadata standard. You know, how do you get all those vendors to agree that this is the kind of metadata approach to be able to share information going forward? And then obviously you have standard implementations, you know, and again, when you start doing going down that route, how do you convince other members to go ahead and write stuff or rewrite stuff using a single framework? And the other thing that's key to this, you know, to all these different approaches that were undertaken, these were slow and to a certain extent were very disruptive, I can't even say the word right now, but disruptive to adopt. And the reason what we mean by disruptive here is that the cost of adopting was quite significant, whether it be in level of effort, skills, you name it. Any questions so far? All right, moving on. So one of the key things that we're trying to highlight on slide 8 here is the fact that when we start talking about integrations, it's beyond just merely connecting the dots. And usually we tend to tackle a small part of the problem, which is tool integration. You know, we'll go ahead and start taking point-to-point integrations, and that's where we'll focus on. But the bigger problem that we usually is left unaddressed is the fact around data and process integration. And what we essentially happen here is the fact that, you know, we have different types of processes, you know, that need to interoperate to get better transparency in exactly how we deliver our software, for that matter, how we deploy our software. And it also impacts the way teams collaborate with each other. You know, it is, you know, we already know that there are different processes when you have your help desk team that's actually got a way of triaging customer defects that are coming in versus the way the development team triages a particular defect when it comes into their pipeline. How do you make sure that these two different groups are able to see what's going on and the kind of decision-making process that's put in place to make sure that the customer who is at the receiving end of all this sees exactly the exact rationale of why certain things were resolved and why certain things were left unresolved. And one of the key things around that is once we start looking at integrating the data and process aspect of things, the reason why we usually leave it unaddressed is because the cost of integrating those elements is quite significant and to a certain extent very prohibitive. So, you know, from a Jazz perspective, you know, we went about thinking about integration from the ground up versus thinking about integration after the fact. And those of you who've been with Rational for quite some time kind of know how it's evolved. You know, Rational pioneered, if you will, to a certain extent, the whole notion of getting commercially viable integrated suites. Were we perfect? Absolutely not. You know, everything that we highlighted here about the kind of challenges that we've had with integrating tools are certain things that Rational kind of learned from their own experience. You know, back in the day, we had Rational Suite and such around those areas. From a Jazz perspective, there are three key things we're looking at. One is obviously from an architecture standpoint, of which OSLC is a very integral part of, which is linked lifecycle data. And products that are leveraging the Jazz technology or the architecture in this context are also using this to be able to link artifacts back and forth. So when you see Rational Team Concert, integrate it with Rational Quality Manager, and you know, you see the backlink happening just because you've got a URI there, that's leveraging the OSLC infrastructure. Along with that, there are some integration services, things like common dashboarding capabilities, reporting capabilities, that are just above and beyond just merely linking. And that's, again, a key thing around the JAS effort. The other key thing, which is kind of turning Rational development effort kind of on its head, is a lot of the JAS work is developed on a notion of something called open commercial development. And what we're talking about here is, you know, for those of you who've dealt with Rational in the past, you know, whenever you had defects with or enhancement requests that came in for Rational products in the past, it would go into the system and it would be a black box, and you had no idea exactly when certain things would be addressed and when what release would come in until you spoke with certain internal stakeholders within IBM to figure out exactly what's going on. With JAS.net, we actually have, you know, you interact with the development team right through the JAS.net website. And you as a stakeholder are collaborating directly with our development team. And the way we're doing development around this to help foster this community, if you will, is something called open commercial development. And with that, what actually happens is you are aware of exactly where things are from a release standpoint, how the builds are functioning. You also get to listen and read our internal development banter, if you will, and kind of chime in and kind of give your two cents and say exactly whether or not, you know, our assumptions are valid or our concerns are valid or not. The other key element is, besides the architects and community, is products. You know, I mentioned earlier about two key products, in this case, Rational Quality Manager and Rational Team Concert. We also have Rational Requirement Composer. And these are essentially instantiation, if you will, of the JAS architecture and are, again, developed transparently in the view of the JAS community. So if you go to JAS.net, we already have projects, several projects there that are leveraging JAS, and you're able to go ahead and participate actively in the way these products are developed and evolved. So the JAS architecture specifically, you know, so there are two key elements on this based on the last slide. One is obviously supporting a rich set of range of integration patterns, again, loosely coupled, to be able to share lifecycle data. And it doesn't have to be any specific software development tool in this context, but any tool that essentially has a lifecycle component to it, we could potentially link to it as, merely by the fact that it's, you know, as long as it exposes its data artifacts through a simple URI. The other key element of the JAS piece in this context is also the integration services. So things like project administration, reports, dashboard, you know, service discovery, and such and such. And what that basically means is that if you were to go ahead and rehost or leverage some of the integration services there, you would be able to not only get the OSLC benefits, which you could obviously do, but also combine, let's say, common administration and reduce the overall cost of ownership of the way you manage your ALM infrastructure. But that said, if you don't want to leverage that, you can still use OSLC and link artifacts back and forth and still get the benefit, if you will, of your collaborative lifecycle management solution. So, OSLC, what exactly is it? You know, when we look at the kind of integration solutions that were used in the past, we kind of had to kind of do a double take and say, okay, how can we make the integration process a lot less messy? And what is out there today from an architectural standpoint that we know can scale, but at the same time doesn't require a significant cost of ownership or overhead to manage or administer? And we didn't have to look far because the answer was kind of staring right at us, which was the internet. And so we realized the best way to go about doing this is essentially making all the lifecycle components available as a URI and using the Internet Protocol, which is a universal protocol, to be able to access information in that context. And every artifact that we have in our software development lifecycle is a unique resource that can be referenced through an HTTP call. And one of the things we wanted to go do was use this and actually use these openly published standards, you know, which are free to implement and in large case, you know, available to everyone in the domain to be able to go ahead and use that. So as long as your tool can expose their, you know, your data sources as a URI, we should be able to integrate and actually add value and bring transparency, incremental transparency to your software supply chain. So OSLC, the way we're going about doing this, just similar to kind of what JAS is doing, but also different in the same context, is JAS obviously is transparent development for commercial products. OSLC is more around a shared knowledge community environment. And what we're talking about there is looking at how we can solve the integration problem in general. It doesn't have to be an IBM product. It doesn't have to be you know, another a tool from, let's say, from GBS. It doesn't matter who the vendor is. At the end of the day, when vendors expose their information or their data in a simple URI format, we ought to be able to integrate information back and forth and build transparency into the way our software development supply chain is impacted. So one of the approaches that we're trying to do with OSLC in particular is being able to build this as part of the community. And it's not just that IBM is driving this. We are actually working with other business partners and competitors and academic institutions to build and really focus on solving the problem around lifecycle data in this context. We also have Scott Bosworth on the call. Scott, and do you want to add anything here?
I think you said it well, Carl.
All right, so how are things progressing? So on slide 14, as I mentioned earlier, you know, this is not something that IBM is kind of pioneering on their own. Here's a list of a few customers and partners that we currently have that are helping, and competitors for that matter, they're helping evolve these specifications for OSLC. And there are 11 work groups that are out there on openservices.net, and they're divided into key specific domain groups. So we have a domain group for CM, quality management, RM, and then for common issues and patterns, there's the core work group that's available there. And then we've also started branching out into other specialized domains around things like product lifecycle management, ALM bridge, if you will. And we're also now in the process of identifying integrations between development and operations. So that scenario that I was talking about earlier, where in which you had your support organization wanted to integrate their lifecycle product, where in which they manage all the service desk requests, integrating that directly with, let's say, a development team that's using RTC with their own defect tracking system, they're now able to see and be transparent and kind of look at the decision flow and the impact of work when a request comes into support and how that links into the way development goes ahead and resolves that matter.
Fred, I saw you raise your hand in the web conference. Did you have a question?
Oh, I did. I don't know if this is too early to ask it, but I'm a little struggling with what is the difference as you go through this between OSLC and CLM, which is a huge integration thing too, isn't it?
Well, so
what's the difference there? So I can. Above, you know, your content better.
Okay, so from a CLM standpoint, you know, as I mentioned, integration is a challenge. So CLM, the way we realized the integrations that we realized with CLM were because that the underpinning technology to realize the integration work was driven through OSLC. So OSLC, to a large extent, is the enabling framework, if you will, that has actually allowed us to do the work for CLM. But the fact is, OSLC in and of itself is not restricted to CLM. If you want, you can actually use some of the OSLC principles to integrate other third-party products, you know, beyond just rational products in general. Did that answer your question, Fred?
I think so. Are you saying CLM is a packaged solution based on OSLC?
Well, it's a packaged solution that comprises of RQM, RTC, and RRC.
Uh-huh.
The integration between those respective products, they leverage OSLC to make the integration happen between the respective products.
Understood.
Okay?
Absolutely. Thanks.
All right. So from a community perspective, you know, one of the things that are core, if you will, from an operating principle standpoint is just like what we have with jazz.net.
Is my hand raised?
Yep. There's a question?
I'm trying to. No, there's no question.
So the operating principles around OSLC, in particular the community in this context, are obviously similar to what we have for jazz.net, is to build a level of transparency. And again, it's not something, and one of the key things around the operating principle there is it's not a unilateral approach where one organization makes a decision. It is truly a community effort, and the way we're interacting with the community members are through wikis and mailing lists that are out there. And each of these specification efforts or work groups that we currently have are very much scenario-driven. What are practical implementations that really impact the integrations that are useful? You know, by merely saying that we need to integrate product X and product Y really does not make a lot of sense. You know, what exactly, what kind of scenario is the right kind of integration scenario that we ought to be focusing on that will truly help organizations adopt these specifications so that they can actually realize value, if you will, around the work, you know, along with their participation in this OSLC work group effort. The other key thing is obviously it's highly correlated with the W3C effort around linked data. So if you're aware of the linked data effort that's going on, a lot of the principles of linked data have carbon borrowed into the OSLC effort, as it were. And this is something that we're maniacally focused on as well, is saying there's a very strong bias towards keeping things very simple and being very minimalistic. So use what you need to use, and if you don't need anything else more grandiose, you don't have to use it. And the other thing is, we're not trying to go ahead of, I know this is a very old cliche here, but we're not trying to go solve world peace. What we are trying to figure out is what are the things that make the high amount of impact and build incremental value, not try to go with the whole big bang process of actually going ahead and building value. So what are the roadmaps and how have things evolved ever since the inception of OpenServices.net? In 2009, we came up with the version 1 of our change management spec. In 2010, we further improved on our work there and came up with version 1 for quality and requirements and asset management. And close to the end of 2010 and now early 2011, and these specifications have been adopted by the products that are delivering on the CLM. On the CLM effort are, change management spec version 2, SCM version 1. We also have some of the reporting specifications that have been adopted. And again, these specifications are being used and leveraged by our CLM products. And again, I really want to, and if I sound like a broken record, it's intentional. The fact that these specifications are also specifications that you can use to allow integration happening between, let's say, your homegrown products and with other rational tools, as it were. So, any questions so far? Besides the one from Fred? All right. So, moving on. Again, as I mentioned, you know, if we were to look at the overall OSLC core effort, what OSLC Core does is tries to capture some of the common patterns, if you will, across these various domains. So if there are certain things that are recurring, whether let's say in the PLM space or automation space or project management space, that actually have a wider impact than the specific domain, it automatically makes its kind of way into Core based on the work group interactions that we tend to have across. And a lot of members that are part of these work groups are participating in other work groups as well. So there's cross-pollination and kind of cross-pollination of ideas, if you will, that's happening across these different work groups. And again, you know, one of the things that I keep on mentioning as well, that I've mentioned so far, is it is still a very community-driven effort. So not everything and anything makes it into the core group unless the community agrees that it is something that needs to make its way into the core group, as it were. So from an OSLC adoption perspective, as we mentioned earlier too, you know, along with everything that's going in the outside world, internally within Rational, there's work that's currently underway. You know, first off, in 2009, we had to go first off prove off the effort with linked data around the CLM effort. So CLM 2011 that we currently have expands on some of the proof points that we were trying to build in 2009, and we further that effort now and are actually delivering on it in 2011. Further on in 2011, we've broadened the scope, so we've now bought into the fold asset management, software configuration management, and also product lifecycle management in this context as well. We're now looking at other adjacent areas, for example, business process management and integrated systems management, and we believe that going forward from 2012 onwards, we'll start looking at things like, you know, lifecycle baseline, so baseline that kind of span across multiple domains, so that you can actually trace exactly, you know, a baseline in development that has to correlate back to the same baseline in test cases and such. So those are the areas that we're kind of going and looking at as part of our evolving strategy and adoption strategy from a rational perspective as well. Now, as I mentioned, you know, it's not something that IBM or Rational is kind of doing this on their own. We do have a lot of other members of the OSLC community kind of doing things and delivering value in that context. You know, here's an example. We have Siemens that is going ahead and that's gone ahead and delivered an integration with Teamcenter and Rational Team Concert. I'm not going to go through the entire list, but just to kind of give you an example, Oracle, who's also part of the OSLC community, is actually delivering and developing, if you will, an Oracle JDeveloper integration with Rational Team Concert. We've got business partners like BSD and Tasktop that have built integrations with HP Quality Center and Rational Team Concert, and you know, GM is on board in looking at how we can build traceability and transparency between PLM practices and how they map into the ALM world as well. So, as I mentioned earlier too, you know, we are looking at adjacent areas of where we think OSLC can make an impact. Obviously, it's OSLC's genesis essentially happened in the software delivery world, but there are elements of that that can be leveraged in the enterprise collaboration space, integrated system management, and also business analytics. So, for example, in the past where it was very hard to figure out exactly what financial business case was the one that drove a particular software development initiative, we think with OSLC in the picture and the fact that we'll be able to access every data resource as a uniform resource entity, the fact is we'll be able to at least handle some of the complex queries that we were unable to do in the past by leveraging this. Are we there yet today? No, we're not. But we are exploring these other venues where in which we think we can start adding value above and beyond just the software delivery realm, as it were. So here's an example of that. What was showcased on slide 21 from our Tivoli folks on our Tivoli brethren. So here in this case, we've actually integrated Tivoli Service Request Manager, which plugs into Tivoli Monitoring, and the service request issues that come into TSRM could then immediately link information. So if there's work items that are captured in Rational Team Concert and chain sets in Team Concert, or for that matter in ClearCase or ClearQuest, you can now link those artifacts directly into the service request that's being captured by Tivoli Service Request Manager. And in turn, those service requests link to the Tivoli Monitoring solution that's part of there. Now, here you see an example where in which we have IBM products specifically, but you can also pull out, and you know, for that matter, if someone wants to go and write an integration with HP BMC, HP or BMC products for integration and get the same kind of look and feel and experience, that is possible as well. So all in all, as I mentioned, you know, if we were to look at exactly what OSLC is looking at, it is essentially an enabler of integrations. Are the integrations do they truly have to be with an IBM Rational specifically? Absolutely not. And we are making certain progress in those areas on how we want to go ahead and deliver. So with that, I've come to the end of my slide deck, and I'd like to open it up. Stephanie, I'd like to open it up for questions. I know we went through it a little quickly, but I want to also have some time open for questions here.
Hi, Fred Carter. Hello?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have a time to maybe to give a little demo of this, do you? Or a setup for it? OSLC in play.
Well, one of the examples that you can see that we have today is the notion of the integration that we currently have between ClearQuest and Rational Team Concert. I believe we have a YouTube demo that's there on jazz.net.
What's it called? That would be a good example, yeah.
Yeah, it's a ClearQuest Bridge example that we have. So if you just
how are we searched on it? Just say ClearQuest and Bridge, maybe.
Yeah. So just search for ClearQuest Bridge. You'll be able to identify it there. And what the example there basically is, just to kind of give you an idea how the scenario plays out, is you have tasks that you've created inside ClearQuest. Now, in the typical sense of what we would have done in the past is we would have actually gone ahead and copied that task into, let's say, Rational Team Concert, and then created subsequent child activities in Rational Team Concert and linked them into the copied request from ClearQuest into Rational Team Concert. And that usually gives rise to data redundancy. Now, with the ClearQuest Bridge, which leverages OSLC in this case, you can now keep the record inside ClearQuest and not have to copy it in Rational Team Concert, but create the child activities in Rational Team Concert and link them directly back into ClearQuest. And that's an example of how OSLC works in action. Steve, you want to elaborate a little bit on that, or did I miss anything there?
No, that's good. There's also a good summary or a video recording that Carolyn Fampino put out on jazz.net that shows the CLM three products integrating together. And though she doesn't touch on directly where the OSLC integration points are, but does highlight where the different products come into play with the different resources between the requirements and RRC, linked to the plan items in RTC, then linked then to the test case through RQM. So you can kind of see the integration there. That's OSLC based, and that's what she highlights and refers to the various touch points between the different products.
Right. And for those of you on the call, that was Steve Spiker. He's actually one of the architects and leads of the OSLC effort.
Hey, Kartik, this is Scott Bosworth. I would just add that if there's some additional demos and recordings that have been made available by people in the community that show integrations. I think Tafftop and the Mylan project has captured a video. I think the team that's working on open source project called Fusion Forge has done some videos as well. So I think if you search, you can try searching the OSLC news ID on Twitter, or search for OSLC and Mylan or other things, and you'll find if you Google those, you'll probably find more examples as well.
Stephanie, what I'll do is I'll send all the links out for the various videos, so you can share that with the folks that are attending the open mic.
Yes, and I'll post them where the recordings are posted as well.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Kartik, Randy Haven, good presentation. Appreciate it.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, what I'm seeing is I'm really trying to press this very hard in my organization, and I see some situations where people tend to want to go back to that model. I guess I'd call it the 80 cycle monolithic, put it all in one tool approach, right? They keep wanting to bounce back to RTC, frankly, right?
Right.
So what I'm observing the pattern to be here is that the linkage tends to be so spread out across tools that's the way that they try to manage it. They try to call everything a work item,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to capitalize on OSLC. And I wonder if you can help me out here. And the help I'm asking for is a couple different ways. One is how can I navigate or promise that Rational will help me navigate this increasingly complex network graph that will be created from OSLC and CLM. And, are there tools that can help me there? And for those that are those outliers, like, work products that people insist upon building in Word and desktop tools and Symfony, how do I kind of, what's your advice on kind of bringing them into the fold that they're not really internet resources? They're, things that tend to be dropped in document management systems instead. So the problem is really just trying to keep it all together, right?
Right.
Keep everything linked together, and people tend to want to throw it all in one repository and be done with, right? Or throw it in a file share and be done with. What do you have any experience or guidance on how to?
There's kind of twofold. I mean, one of the things that we're looking at is strictly from a linked data perspective here, Randy.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, if in any way, shape, or form that information can be exposed, whether it's an RDF resource or as a CSV resource, I mean, as long as we can reference it, one, we'll make the job easy. Secondly enough, based on just our personal CLM experience, you don't necessarily, going down the route of actually putting everything in a single repository, we already know from past experience, doesn't work and doesn't scale. All right? Now, the beauty of OSLC in this case is you can keep the domains, if you want, isolated, but at the same time, build a stronger layer of transparency. I mean, for example, what we're doing right now with OSLC in particular, and I'm also, and Steve, please chime in if you think there's thoughts around that, but by merely linking, you're also establishing kind of more relationships. One of the areas that I would also recommend that you look at too is Tim Berners-Lee's video on linked data specifically.
Okay.
But with regards to folks that are putting stuff into Word documents, I believe we actually had a we had some folks in the IBM Yamato lab that we're now we're going to be sharing out on the SourceForge project, where in which they also created an OSL2 provider to link between Excel spreadsheets. So one of the things, one of the upfront effort that will probably happen is you'll have to kind of create an adapter, if you will, from an OSLC perspective, to allow to even link artifacts that maybe, let's say, stored in a document as such in this context.
Yeah, and to maybe add on to that is, you know, one of the patterns we see when people want to do tool integration is it's often a query or reporting problem. So they're very used to writing ClearQuest queries in that system or RTC work item queries, and so it's much easier to pull all the data into one system and write those queries there. But we're making great advances in being able to do cross-repository queries and be able to pull information through a unified dashboard as well. So that enables you through standard interfaces like OpenSocial to use the RTC dashboard to pull in viewlets from or gadgets from many different sources, including ClearQuest, RC, et cetera. So I think it's also maybe a point in time statement, too, where a lot of end users are used to using the query capabilities of a certain system, used to having a certain capability within there. And I think as we evolve the products and our query and search capabilities, you'll be able to see that it better support above and beyond what we have today for these cross-repository queries, eliminating the need for being able to centralize everything to get that support.
Does that answer your question, Randy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the OpenSocial will help the navigation side of things, certainly. If we had something that, as you said, Steve, point in time, if we had something that could just kind of give me a way to easily navigate across the network of the network graph of linkages, I think that would be good. What I seem to be observing in CLM is if I'm at one place, I can go to the next place, but I can't sort of back up and see the overall graph, if you will, of everything all put together, the full traceability, you know. It's a little bit more difficult.
Right. Well, you're touching on a very key point there, is the whole reporting piece of it, Randy.
Yeah.
That is to be able to take a step back, and that's something that we acknowledge that that's one area that we need to be able to work on. And I believe Arthur Ryman in our reporting specification work group is kind of leading the charge around seeing how we can incorporate some of the RDF link data elements into our upcoming reporting solutions in that context. But again, leveraging a lot of the OSLC elements in that area.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay, if you have any feedback or additional questions regarding this session, feel free to post on the jazz.net forum.
I got a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, this is reaching a bit, but do you know for the upcoming conference if there's going to be any OSLC? Are you guys doing any sessions on OSLC, or do you know of any?
We have close to 15 sessions or presentations that are going on regarding OSLC. And Steve Spiker is actually going to be doing an OSLC workshop at Innovate as well.
All right.
So there's tons of work that's going to be shown. I mean, let me put it this way. The announcement that we're making for CLM at Innovate, as I mentioned earlier too, the enabling technology that made CLM happen is OSLC. So the current linkages that you see, even in the release candidates of CLM that you're, if you're part of the Jazz.net community that's downloading the CLM bits today, and you see the integrations that are kind of being manifested there, the enabler of that integration is essentially OSLC in that context. So you'll see a lot of announcements and thread that kind of emphasize that that notion of integration through CLM, which is one of our big showcases that we're going to be talking about at Innovate this year.
This is Scott again. Just to add on, so out of the 15 or so sessions, there'll be speakers from both IBM as well as from the external community, both Siemens, who leads the Reiner Hirsch from Siemens, who leads the PLM, OSLC PLM work group, has a session on OSLC. Mick Kirsten, who's the CEO of TaskTop and the leader of the Club Smiling Project has a session that will be talking about their involvement in the OSLC change management efforts. There's a joint session by Erickson and Tieto on how they've been applying OSLC for internal tools integration work that's been going on at Erickson. There's also, in addition to that, there's Birds of a Feather session that's being planned for OSLC. And finally, there's a segment of the Solution Showcase floor, the pedestal floor, that's called the Jazz Interoperability Center. And that'll have, you know, about a dozen PEDs or so that is focused on integration through OSLC, both IBM and third-party integration. So there'll be a kind of a wealth of information at the conference.
Yeah. I mean, for simplicity's sake, if you can just go on Google and say, type in OSLC at Innovate 2011, you'll see a list of all the activities that are going on. So the stuff that Scott just listed out is all available just through that Google search.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, any additional questions? Okay, everyone, please stay on the line. We're just going to ask you a quick feedback question. Valerie, can you do this now?
One moment. Your question is, was this session useful to you? Please press star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, star 3 for somewhat useful. Again, star 1 for yes, star 2 for no, star 3 for somewhat useful. Please vote at this time. Thank you. That concludes the polling session.
Thanks, Valerie. Okay, and this concludes the session for today. I want to thank Kartik for joining us, as well as all of you for participating. Join us tomorrow when we will continue our discussion on agile development practices with guest speaker Johannes Rieken. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, I have one.